Joining me today is Azeem Amir, who is an England blind football player, a TED Talk host, and the youngest blind person in the world to complete the Tough Mudder, and the founder of Learn with ESS. Azeem, welcome.
Hi, Ellie.
So we're here today to talk about just one of those things. We're here to talk about Learn with ESS. First of all, can you just give us a little summary and just explain what Learn with ESS is?
So it all started as an idea in a notebook about a year and a half ago. I myself have been very fortunate to be working within the local council on sport and holiday provision for the last 6 years. I started volunteering when I was 15, 16, and it was fantastic. I started volunteering, and it was just a summer job and a job that I would do, just working with young people with and without disabilities, just to get them active over holiday periods. And I was absolutely loving it. And I was there with my mates, and slowly started to me getting a few of my coaching badges. And then I became a multi-sports coach, and I just loved working with young people and actually getting them active, and just the amount of stories that every day and every session brings. Something's going up, and it's really, you can never kind of, as I say, rest on your laurels. It's always here, there and everywhere. And I loved it. And as I developed with my football, and got very fortunate to have the honour of playing around the world, I was getting asked to come in and deliver some talks, deliver some practicals around different Paralympic sports to schools, to colleges, to corporates. And I thought, I could see the value and the impact it was having on the participants of the sessions. And I thought, actually, I'd love to actually package this up as something that's bigger and be able to offer it out to wider, not just the local community, but wider. And that's what the idea came about. And I was very fortunate to be supported by Salford University, where I'm doing my master's at the minute. It was through them and their enterprise team who really kind of came with the ethos of turning an idea into a business. And that's where it all began. And a year of piloting, working with lots of different organisations, shifting between online and face-to-face due to the pandemic.
So what's the kind of things that happen when you take this into different organisations?
So Learn With S is a workshop-based programme, and it's a disability awareness and team cohesion programme. So the aim is to offer disability awareness training to those in educational institutions, from staff and students to sports clubs, recreation and elite, as well as corporate away days, and deliver them disability awareness, but all based around team cohesion and team building. And we do it through three steps, and that is the ESS, which is education, sport and speaking. So the education is what we'll do is we'll go in and we'll start our program in a classroom based environment, and we'll deliver a workshop around a topic such as Braille, and do some engaging group activities all around getting people proactively thinking and starting a conversation around a disability. So we'll do that in the classroom. They will then go out, and hopefully by then, the topic was slightly desensitized, because we try and put like a fun kind of comedic vibe, or just a bit more of a less formal vibe on it. We'll then go into the sport, which is like a sports hall-based program where they'll actually get a chance to try the Paralympic sport. That might be blind football, it might be goalball, it might be boccia, and hopefully in the future that'll be wheelchair sports. And they'll actually be able to try it and start from stepping into a person's world who's living with a disability. And that might well be a visual impairment, but then seeing that they actually play this game called blind football or goalball or VI tennis and how fun it is, but then being able to hopefully change the way that they think, because what they'll do is they'll try the sport and then they'll also watch a video to see kind of how the elite players play it, and that hopefully will take their empathetic side ticket in terms of bloody hell, like these guys are doing a real good job here because I know how difficult it is because I've just tried it. Mm-hmm. And then the last part is the speaking, which is a motivational talk from a local role model. And the hope is them three things put together will leave like long-lasting life impact, where people will remember the day that they experienced what it's like to live with a person with a disability. And then hopefully they might be tomorrow's teachers, they might be tomorrow's GPs, dentists, and the way in which they then pick up on someone coming in with a disability will be slightly different because of them actually being able to experience it, and their mind will hopefully be a bit more open.
It's a fantastic initiative, and it's sort of changing that sort of preconception of what disabled people are able to do, and sort of breaking down those stereotypes at that young age, like you say, is going to, you know, impact them for life. Do you think there should be more things done in schools surrounding inclusion and what disabled people are actually able to do, and to sort of break down the stereotypes like you're doing? How do you think we can make that sort of more of a widespread sort of educational thing?
I think it's ultimately the school or the organisation actually thinking that, you know what, we've got in schools, like there's people in my brother's class, he's in primary school at the minute, and two, three of them have got different forms of learning difficulties or a hearing impairment. And it's one of them things where it's not really spoken about, and it's not really kind of said, you know, he's got someone might say, yeah, I've got a form of autism, but the kids don't actually know what that means. And the hope is that, you know, we can go in and deliver a session, or the school can be able to promote, actually start the conversation rather than saying, oh, you don't want to. I remember when I was younger, and I used to be walking through kind of the shops or shopping and with my parents. And I used to remember hearing, like, why does that person look different? And the parents would be like, shh, don't say that, don't say that. Where actually the parents, the hope would be the parents actually saying to them, actually, well, people are born different ways. So that person might have a visual impairment, which means he can't see, but you know, there's things in place where he can get around, and he's got guide dogs, he's got cane, and people are able to achieve that life. And, you know, as kids get older, they're going to be working with these people with vision impairments, hearing impairments, different disabilities. And they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to say, you know, oh, we can't talk. Mm-hmm. They're going to be working with them day to day. And then if they were brought up in the mindset of, oh, don't talk about a disability to the person, because, oh, you might offend them or you might say something wrong, then, you know, they isn't going to be an inclusive work environment or study environment.
It's almost like removing that sort of taboo surrounding actually talking about stuff like this. And there shouldn't be a taboo at all. It's part of life.
Yeah, 100%. It is a massive part of life. And I think that's why, like, for me, I'm very open about my disability and my upbringing. And because actually, you know, it shaped the person who I am. Like, there's no kind of getting around it. And actually, I think a lot of disabled people share that kind of exact same thing as me, where actually, you know, rather than not talk about it, let's talk about it. And let's kind of, you know, at the end of the day, us talking about it, starting up a conversation is ultimately going to help me, because you might be able to adapt things a bit better for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What's your favourite thing about playing football?
You know what it is? It's the buzz that you get in the changing room, and the buzz that you get whilst... you know, there's no feeling like it when someone scores a goal, or when you're about to step onto a pitch in a big game. Like, there literally isn't a feeling to replicate that. Like, people will say that, and I sometimes think it now, I'll be like, you know, what can replace this? And I don't think any high or any kind of anything else in life can ultimately replace that feeling of excelling in a sport that you train day in, day out to then perform on a world or global stage, or when it really, really matters. And that is the high that I'm chasing now, in terms of wanting to be able to be that good, to be able to be an integral part of the England team moving forward. And we've got some big tournaments coming up, and I just want to be able to experience that buzz even more.
What's next for Azim Amir?
I'd say is growing this programme, getting this off the ground, making sure the foundations are strong, making sure we get things right, making sure the coaches are all on board, and making sure that we get as many young people engaged, and we can deliver the value that we genuinely believe we can. Alongside that, we've got a few little projects and things going on. I've got my master's, which I'll hopefully be getting done and dusted soon, and we're returned back to football, which I'm very, very excited about, and I'm looking forward to developing my game technically and tactically, and ultimately it's all about having a good time. And I'm looking forward to things over and over, seeing friends, seeing family, traveling, and just experiencing life, and hopefully, you know, we can have that more appreciation for the little things when we do head back out of lockdown.